In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I enjoy watching movies about Jesus. Do you? I find them fascinating, even when I find faults with them. And sometimes the more faults I find, the more fascinating they are. Several years ago, there was a controversial movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. Maybe some of you remembered it. It was directed by Martin Scorsese, who has directed other popular and award-winning films, including Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, and The Wolf of Wall Street. The Last Temptation was based on a historical fiction novel with the same title, written by noted author Nikos Kazantzakis. As often happens, the movie did not follow the book exactly, and neither really followed the Bible. Both the book and the movie were condemned by the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches. Jesus is depicted as a very reluctant Messiah, riddled with self-doubts and lacking decisiveness. Sometimes he comes across as a bumbling loser. That's not the Jesus we know. His profession was making crosses for the Romans, which, of course, is not in the Bible. Especially in the film version, there is a lot of gore and gratuitous sexuality that we could do without. So what message were Kazantzakis and Scorsese trying to convey? That's debatable. Although there were a lot of faults to find there, I did find one theme that is absolutely true. This is the one positive I take away from The Last Temptation as I understand it and as I remember it. That truth is, even on the cross, Jesus could have saved himself, but instead he willingly, knowingly chose to die for our sins. In The Last Temptation, an angel appears to Jesus as he's being crucified, tells him that he's done enough, that God does not will for him to die, and Jesus comes down off the cross. Not at all biblical, but the author and director are telling a fictional story, and that is the ploy they use to make their point. Jesus goes on to have a career as a carpenter, get married, have children, and lives peacefully to a grand old age. But then a turn of events convinces Jesus that he did not make the right choice. Suddenly, Jesus is back on the cross, dying for our sins. As I understand the film, the whole part about Jesus leading a normal life after saving himself was just in Jesus' imagination. It was not real. It was only the reverie of a suffering, dying man. But Jesus could have taken that path if he chose to. But then Jesus fulfills his mission. He dies on the cross for us. There is a connection there between Jesus' decision to die on the cross for us, to the 23rd Psalm, and to the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The 23rd Psalm says in the Old King James Version, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The shepherd's job is to protect the sheep, even with his own life, if necessary. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, protects us in that way by laying down his own life. A competent shepherd would never dream of leaving his sheep alone. As we said last week, we are never alone. God is always with us. The shepherd's rod and staff were a two-in-one weapon and tool that he used to guide the sheep and fight for them. I have my shepherd's staff here. The curved end of the staff was used to pull the sheep by the back by the neck back into line when they were straying. And then the pointed end, which you can't see at the bottom, was used to fight off predators like wolves and lions and bears. We rely on the shepherd. We rely on him to defend us when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. Where's that valley? You know where that valley is. We have all been there. It's the illness and death of someone we love. It's our own personal illnesses and contemplating our inevitable demise. At least three times I've heard a doctor say about me, "We're losing him," or something like that. I know that many of you have been through similar experiences. It is an awful, dark valley to be in. The path through that valley of the shadow can also go through places where sometimes we are just so depressed we wish for death. Or we go through places where loving relationships have ended and we don't know how we're going to go on. Jesus was in that valley before us when he was abandoned, suffered, died, and was buried. Jesus also came out. Jesus also is in that valley with us when we suffer and face death. Jesus came out on the other side of that valley. He was risen and glorified and would never die again. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lead us through that valley too, to his kingdom, to eternal life in his flock. It feels kind of strange to call the word and sacraments weapons, but that's sort of what they are. When we struggle with demons of doubt and hopelessness and fear, holy baptism saves us. The shepherd's crook draws us in. The word of God reassures us of his promises. The shepherd's staff keeps us on the right path. When doubts and heresies assail us, the shepherd's rod pushes them away. That is how the Good Shepherd cares for us and defends us. You are as safe right now as if Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was carrying you in his very arms. There is another form of protection we need, which the Good Shepherd provides. You may remember Pope Benedict XVI. He was born Joseph Ratzinger. To be clear, Lutherans do not recognize the authority of the Pope or believe him to be the vicar of Christ or infallible, but we do understand the need for order and leadership in the church, and we know that individual popes can be morally upright men. Benedict was certainly like that. When Cardinal Ratzinger became pope, he said something publicly that was very peculiar. He said, "Please pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves." What did he mean? Certainly there are wolves outside the Christian church. We noted in an update a couple weeks ago about the increase in number of violent attacks on churches and Christians. No doubt the fervor and vehemence of those who do not believe in God are increasing. Many of them, you know, actually do believe in God, but they hate him. And in their hatred, they try to force God out of the public eye and squelch Christians in their public debates and marginalize Christian values. Those are just some of the wolves, the obvious ones. There are also wolves in sheep clothing inside of churches, Christians in name only, who are trying to deny the authority of the Bible and overturn the teachings of Christ for their own unholy agenda. Benedict fought financial corruption in the church, as well as pedophilia and all the other pagan practices that are infiltrating Christianity, masquerading as modern advancements. We are fighting the same battles. Benedict poured out his health as an offering in fighting the wolves. Jesus, even more so, gave his life as an offering to undo the power of evil. What Jesus did, that none of us can do, was perfectly offer up his innocent life in atonement for our sins. In that way, Jesus is both the good shepherd and a sheep to be offered at the same time. He is our great high priest and the sacrificial lamb simultaneously. Each Sunday, we sing that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As I was picking hymns for Lent and Holy Week this year, the words of one of the hymns that speak of Jesus as both shepherd and lamb really struck me. We sang, "What punishment so strange is offered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him who would not know him." How strong is our good shepherd? How powerful are the word and sacraments? When you think of someone evil and violent, ruthless, someone positively demonic, satanic, who do you think of? The Nazis might be one choice. The SS, the stormtroopers, they were merciless, not fearing God or man, and taking pleasure in enslaving people and murdering them. I toured a Nazi concentration camp once and saw the historic evidence of things there too sickening to relate. At the Nuremberg trials, many of the top Nazi leaders were tried for war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide. Many of them had been Lutheran. Now, the Nazis had twisted in the Third Reich religion into something evil and occult, no longer really Christian at all. But many of them had been raised in the church before it became corrupted. Lutheran pastors, and recall that the word pastor is derived from the word for shepherd, Lutheran pastors ministered to these sinful, sinful men in their prison cells. Some of them confessed their sins and repented before their executions. Not all did. Some persisted in their sin and were lost. But some, whose sins were like scarlet, were washed white as snow and died in God's grace. It seems horribly unfair to us that someone so notoriously evil can be forgiven, but that is what our faith tells us. The power of the gospel brought hell-bent Nazi stormtroopers to their knees, begging Jesus for forgiveness, and they received it. The rod and the staff, the word and the sacrament are that strong. Need a more recent example. Remember Jeffrey Dahmer? I watched a couple TV documentaries about him. They gave me cold chills. His crimes are not the kind of thing you can talk about in church on Sunday morning. I doubt a sicker, more twisted, demented serial murderer ever existed. After he was convicted of his heinous crimes, a prison chaplain, who happened to be a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, ministered to Dahmer. He said that Dahmer told him that he was under the influence of demons when he committed the murders. He confessed and repented before he was killed in prison. Now, was Dahmer sincere? Only God knows for sure. But if God can forgive Nazis and Jeffrey Dahmer, he can even forgive you too. There are absolutely people out there today as evil as the Nazis and Dahmer, people with no regard for the truth or human life, people who would gladly drag us and our children into disease, degradation, and death, people who would lead us away from Christ. Our good shepherd is fighting for us still in the valley of the shadow of death. Nothing will tempt him to abandon us. His word is truth, and knowing that truth can keep us from falling into error and sin. We teach our children God's truth to vaccinate them against the lies of the world, the lies that they're going to be told. And here in the church, we band together to stand up for Christ and his ways. Often, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Jesus never said the Christian life would be easy. But we have our good shepherd's promise that come what may, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the token, the pledge, the guarantee of that promise is in the church each Sunday. God prepares a table before us, our altar, with a rich feast where we will share in our Savior's loving, healing, forgiving presence. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.